You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramil, the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to follow the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/lockedon for 300% back on your first play. So today is going to be part two of a conversation with Wes Goldberg. Not sure if you could tell from part one, but we ran a little long in our conversation. Still thought it was good enough to stretch into two episodes, though, because I didn't want to just force you to listen to the show for an hour plus. So I condensed it into two separate episodes. Just wanted to talk about what's going on later on this week. Of course, there's a lot going on around the NBA. There's Tyler Hero, his development, Dwayne Wade, and seeing him along the Utah Jazz sidelines, Udonis Haslem celebrating a birthday, and Pat Riley being fined for the most innocuous of comments. But today's episode's a really good one. Where Miami stands right now. So Wes and I kind of get into what this team is realistically looking at as far as this year and developing and what their timetable is, because a point that keeps standing out to me is that they accelerated the timetable for success last year by going all the way to the finals. And that forced them to reevaluate who they are as a team. And so while you're holding off, the allocation of salary cap flexibility in order to go after a superstar, you're also all of a sudden a lot better of a team than you expected to be after just 1 year with Jimmy Butler. And so now you kind of have to rethink whether or not you're a contender, whether or not you're still a team angling for a superstar. Are you just a piece or two away? And this year kind of sets you back a little bit because you don't get to the level that you thought you might. You thought you might be able to duplicate last year's success. Obviously, that was not the case. This is a great conversation. Really hope you'll enjoy this one. And of course, please leave feedback. Always send me a direct message, or if you want to send some kind of email or something like that, I'm always available. Anyway, here's my conversation with Wes Goldberg, talking a little bit about Miami's offseason plans after I wouldn't go so far as to say disastrous playoff run, but one that was certainly not a good place for Miami to end their season. And I wanted to talk a little bit about where Miami goes from here, because I think they're in a really tricky place in terms of their timetable, because I think it reset in 2019 when they acquired Jimmy Butler. And we're all looking at that team. And of course, there's the national media perspective that Jimmy goes to Miami to retire and it's an unproven cast of characters. We're not sure what to get out of Bam Adebayo. He winds up obviously taking an all-star leap where he becomes one of the top 25 players in the league. And then Jimmy helps him, get to that point. And Jimmy himself is, still among one of the top 15 players in the league, despite what he did in the playoffs or wasn't able to do in the playoffs. But that timetable changes now. It's a four-year plan. Jimmy's under contract. Whether the extension happens or not, and it's likely to happen, that's still the time frame that you're looking at when it comes to this team's schedule for success. And then I think last year's playoff run to the finals really sped up the timing for this team considerably. I don't think, even as much as they said internally or externally, that they had absolute faith in their ability to get to this place, so much of what happened last season and in the world around us changed everything regarding how this team was viewed. There was COVID, there was the stoppage of play, the hiatus around the league, just the fact that the world itself was almost put on pause in mid-March. And I think you look at what Miami was able to accomplish in the Orlando bubble, and while it was a great achievement, again, I don't think that the Heat front office expected to be in that point in time where they were, okay, now we're an NBA Finals team with perhaps an asterisk in terms of whether or not they were actually quote-unquote good enough to get to that point in the first place. But then there was also the fact that, they're looking at 2021 and Giannis Antetokounmpo or other free agents, Kawhi, et cetera. That was always the plan. Last year was always going to be a benchmark with incremental progress being made from last season to this season. And then for them to be able to continue to build towards something and then add that superstar this offseason. Now, the plan is going to be obviously changed because Giannis isn't available. Other stars aren't available either. It's a lot less likely that you can build with that same time frame. And now with a lackluster free agent class, a disappointing season in general, they're both further along and further behind than they expected to be in 2021. And how do they move from here? How do you evaluate this team, and what do you do moving forward? Because I'm not sure those are easy answers. A lot of Heat fans are optimistic about what this team can do, but I don't know that the kind of changes they expect. We're talking about Damian Lillard, and you know that Pat Riley is going to do everything possible to make that kind of significant upgrade, but he was always going to do that anyway. If that, whenever that's possible, the reality is that it's not always possible. I mean, is Bradley Beal enough to make this team into a title contender, given how good Milwaukee has been, well, prior to their matchup with the Nets, but good, thinking of how good Brooklyn is and other teams that are making progress in the Eastern Conference, would the addition of Bradley Beal significantly improve Miami's chances of a title? What other superstar is available? I don't know how this team is going to be, what version of this team? Are they closer to the finalists, or are they closer to the first round exit?
I still think they're probably closer to an Eastern Conference Finals team if things go right. And so, look, if you can get Damian Lillard, you do it. Bradley Beal is interesting. First of all, it doesn't look like he's leaving Washington with their strong push at the end of the year. Feels like he's there for at least another season, and we'll see what happens there, right? But even if a guy like, to me, Bradley Beal and Paul George are very similar as far as like level of player. So would adding Paul George to Miami make them a finals team? No, I don't think it would. It would just sort of give them another player on that tier of Jimmy Butler. That's the interesting thing about Damian Lillard. He is of that MVP caliber tier, right? Like, add Damian Lillard to Miami, you've got a team that is among probably the three or four favorites to win the championship, depending on how the rest of that offseason looks and how they fill out the roster. But look, if you can get Damian Lillard or a player like that, you do it. Whatever it costs, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, those are the only things not on the table, because you need those guys to fill out that big three. Anything, you do that. Short of that, though, that's the other route, is what I was saying earlier, is you've got five guys who you can identify as part of your core, and you kind of need five more guys to supplement that group. So to me, when I think about this core, I think about Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, and Goran Dragic. I don't think I'm forgetting anybody there. Everybody else is expendable. And I would think that guys like Andre Iguodala, Trevor Ariza, Dwayne Dedmon, like Kendrick Nunn, up and down the roster, like, these are guys that turned out not to be very helpful for you in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And so I would be going out this offseason and taking whatever cap space I have and trying to find just better players, and just kind of go again the Utah Jazz route, where you're so deep and you're so talented from guys 1 through 10 that maybe you don't have that superstar, but you have a guy, where Utah is Donovan Mitchell, who is blossoming into a superstar. You have a guy in Bam Adebayo who still at least has the potential. So you're not locking yourself in, right? You're not boxing yourself in. Bam Adebayo can still be one of the best 10 players in the league. I still have no doubt about that. Jimmy Butler, when he's playing well and surrounded by the right cast, is already one of those players. We saw that in the playoffs in the bubble. So I would go out and just sign guys. I think Kyle Lowry would be a really good fit for this team. I think that, you know, Victor Oladipo, if he's healthy, you would think about bringing him back, even though I don't think that they will. But I like Kyle Lowry. I like a guy like Sterling Brown out of Houston. I like bring back Ken Birch, because you need a backup center really badly. That's a spot that they've been trying to fill for a long time. Ken Birch is going to be a free agent. You wonder if he'll welcome a return to Miami. You know, guys like that, Torrey Craig, right, who's going to be a free agent. Like, these aren't huge names, but these are sort of guys that I've earmarked as dudes who would be the right fits, play the right positions, do the right things that you need. Otto Porter Jr., if he'd be willing to take a little bit less money.
Lawless
guys man. That just fit what they need. Rangy, versatile, 3-and-D type players and rebounders, in the case of Ken Birch, and just like a solid backup defensive center that can just supplement what guys like Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo don't do so well, which is shoot the three ball and just in creating space for them.
Yeah, and I made this point recently too, and I'm sure you're probably in agreement here, but you look at all the players Miami has historically brought in under the Eric Spoelstra regime, and I think you look around what they were able to achieve once they left or were traded away, you know, specifically to Olynyk, you know, let's say, or James Johnson, although the book on Olynyk is still out, because while he had an impressive run in Houston, I don't know how sustainable it is. That's, you know, basically putting up a lot of points in a a garbage fire, a dumpster fire of a season for the Rockets there. But Josh Richardson and others, Justice Winslow and so on and so forth. Like, everybody was really upset about the trade for Winslow, but then it's kind of worked out. And like, while you never want to necessarily feel like you're relishing or kind of just embracing somebody's injury, the reality is that Winslow probably had higher expectations of the player he thought he was going to be, and Miami was able to evaluate him a lot more effectively than he was. And so I think you, to your point, everybody that we kind of grow attached to by covering this team or following the team as fans, they're unfortunately expendable. With the exception of, I think, even, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, and even those, I mean, I think you can't trade Bam because of his youth and potential. Like, even as we're recording this, Nikola Jokic deservingly winning the MVP award. And I think that that's kind of the goal, right? I mean, yes, maybe it's unrealistic, but that's the goal for Bam, is to unlock that potential and become that kind of player. Everybody else in this roster can be replaced and will be replaced, because this team has the proven track record of taking anybody. Dwayne Dedmon was out of the league for a year. He comes in here and winds up saving Miami's regular season towards the last month of the year. I mean, maybe we're overstating things, but I think the reality is, you come to Miami, somehow you're going to get at least a 10 to 15% boost in your effective playing ability. I think that's just the reality here. They're going to get the best out of you. There's this level of accountability from the roster, the guys on this, the fact that Udonis is there in the locker room, making sure guys put in the work so that they can get the money that they deserve or want to get paid, from the coaching staff and everything else. Maybe we can all make fun of Heat culture and body fat tests and everything else, but when it boils down to is, when you come to Miami, there's a very good chance that you're going to play better than you have anywhere else. I mean, look, all those guys I mentioned, Dion, et cetera, et cetera. The list is very long. Wes and I will continue our conversation in the next segment. But first, let me tell you a little bit about Stat Hero. Do you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is that really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts in the field who have more tools and more time. You just don't stand a chance realistically. That's why there's Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes, winner take all, you have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. So go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free. And right now, you can get 3x back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. That's stathero.com/lockedon. And when you're done rewarding yourself from that, you can reward yourself with a Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. 9 delicious flavors. Look, I've talked about it before. If you like any kind of treat that's covered in 100% chocolate, that's soft and easy to chew, and that's good for you too, you don't even know that you're eating a protein bar, then Built Bar is the one for you. You can build your own box, but only if you go to builtbar.com right now and use the promo code LOCK15, you get 15% off your first order. So use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Miami Heat are out of the playoffs, but the road to the finals still continues, and our coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, and at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season.
Well, are you concerned? You're talking about like the guys that are expendable, and I think a lot of people point to Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero as potential core guys, and you mentioned something earlier about the timetable, and it's something that I was talking about after their finals run, was, does this kind of mess up what they think their timetable was? Is the timetable tied to Jimmy Butler, or is it tied to Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero? And I think what Bam showed, and I know that he didn't play great in the playoffs, but I was still very impressed with what he did over the regular season. When you still look at his stats from one regular season to the next, he took a leap, right, in scoring and all these things. And I think Heat fans are just being a little too greedy with what they want Bam Adebayo to do. Like, to expect him to go from 14 points to 24 points a game,
yes,
from one regular season to the next is ridiculous. But he went from basically 14, 15 to 18, 19 points per game during the regular season. That's a good improvement, right? And so if he keeps on with this rate of improvement, he'll be there by next year or within the next couple of years. It's really hard to kind of take those leaps the further and further up you get. But I think that the timeline is Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. And that's why we keep talking about them as the core, because
I think it's Jimmy more than anything else.
Well, yeah, it's a good point, right? But Bam's ready to win at a high level right now.
Sure.
And he's still getting better, but he's ready to win at a high level right now. And Jimmy Butler is obviously only got maybe a couple of years left of playing at this level. And he needs a lot of help, and he needs his minutes to come down if he's going to sustain things, which means you need more depth, or you need another superstar to take a lot of off his plate. Right. And so I would move everything, but if it meant getting those right players and building the right team, because like I said, everything starts with Jimmy and Bam. My question is, I was talking about the core before, and anything short, like obviously you would trade Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero if it was for like Damian Lillard, but anything short of that, and I would have a hard time doing it. But do the Heat have a problem with Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero? Because the Lakers did it in the finals, and then Milwaukee did it in that first round where they just attacked them over and over and over again defensively. And I think Duncan Robinson got marginally better, but he's still getting attacked at in the playoffs, and it's still a weakness for Miami. Can you functionally have both of those players? You can't have them both on the court at the same time. Miami found that out early in the regular season. But can you functionally have both of them in your night-to-night rotation and still survive? Like defensively in the regular season, you could still be a top five defense, but in the playoffs where you're always going to have one of those guys on the floor and teams just always know where they're going to be attacking, can you functionally do it? Does that work?
It can, I think, if you add another top level defender. I mean, when you're thinking about what Jimmy and Bam do as individual defenders, obviously, well, maybe they're not quite top 10, but probably top 15, top 20. I mean, you can make that argument for both of them as being like best individual defenders in the league. You have to have somebody else along those same lines. If not top 20, just outside of that. And I think if you have three great defenders, and I think that was the goal with Victor Oladipo, is that even while he had slipped somewhat in terms of his overall health, he was still able to provide a lot of that boost, a lot of the same role that Jimmy did, like intercepting passes, breaking up passes, flying through passing lanes and creating turnovers and initiating fast break opportunities. Like there was a great, he provided a boost. I mean, maybe the numbers don't necessarily bear it out for various reasons, but I think you watched him play long enough. And again, he was still rounding into form. We only saw four games, but that was the expectation, is that you were going to get three high level defenders, and then you can kind of risk having either Goron or Duncan in the starting line, or both, you know, and then that would still work. I think that was the vision.
Dragic is the other one too. And I think it's overstated that he's so bad defensively. I don't think he's that bad, but again, in the playoffs, when you're going against guys that are enormous, like Giannis and Chris Middleton, then he does become a liability. So you got three of those guys. I wouldn't re-sign Oladipo if I were Miami, just because of the injury concerns, and you've got enough of those guys on the roster. But I think Kyle Lowry that's the reason why you go after a guy like Lowry, because he is such a smart, high-level defender. I know he's 36, but he was still really good last year for Toronto on a team that wasn't very good and in a season that ultimately didn't matter.
It can't be your only move, though. Like Lowry's priority is to win and win now, get one more title before he calls it quits. And while he might have like a close personal relationship to Jimmy Butler, I don't know that he feels that kind of connection to the Heat front office or anything like that, where he's like all, you know, like he's predestined to come here. Like
he says that, but if he's going to go to a title favorite, what's he going to do? Take the minimum to play for Brooklyn, the minimum to play for the Lakers? Like the Heat, all the title teams, they're the only team that have cap space. And I know he says like winning a championship is what's first on my mind, but also like, but he's also not going to come out and say, and also I need $10 million, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So no, I don't know. That's why I look at, I think it's realistic. If you're kind of going down the list of teams that Lowry probably ends up on, I think the Heat have the best chance, right? Because they're the only team of that tier, that have any amount of cap space more than the mid-level exception.
I don't know. I mean, just as we're having a hard time evaluating whether this team is somewhere at A or somewhere closer to Z, I think the offseason will define a lot of that. I mean, it kind of reminds me a little bit of 2014, you know, and the departure of LeBron, and then of course the re-signing of Chris Bosh and Pau Gasol theoretically coming to Miami, and whether or not Miami's able to lure big name free agents and everything else. And while there's no key player, you know, no key domino that has to fall in order for everything else to kind of get going in terms of free agency, how free agents view this franchise is a lot more telling than any of our expectations or perspectives. Like, that's the whole thing. It's like, there's always this inside universe of the NBA that no matter how plugged in we are as reporters or media members or fans or anything like that, we will never know. They are much more accurate in gauging whether a team is a quote-unquote bubble fluke or whether or not they're closer to contention. And I think that's going to be the tell, whether or not you're going to see guys who are going to say, you know what, I want to play in Miami because I like what Jimmy and Bam do. I love what Spo does. I love the culture. I want to play here. I'll take a minimum deal. Like, I could see, you brought up J.J. Redick. That's a guy who's talked up this team a lot over the last couple of years. I think he's a big fan of the work. He's a big fan of Jimmy's, and I think he loves what Spo and Duncan. I mean, the fact that he's got Duncan hosting a podcast on his platform, I think speaks volumes there too. So I think he's a guy who certainly gravitates towards this quote unquote culture. But Wes and I will wrap up our conversation in the next segment. But first, let me tell you a little bit about Lucy. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine that come in 3 flavors, cherry ice, citrus, and mint. Lucy lozenges and gums are FSA and HSA eligible, so you can use your FSA cards to purchase Lucy now. It's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym. I've got a friend of mine who's a smoker. I talked to him about Lucy. He's going to look into it. And I think that's a big step in the right direction for him because he's ready to move on. And if he wants to get rid of cigarettes, and you do too, then Lucy is the way for you. So unplug your vape, throw out your dip, get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Locked On NBA listeners, go to Lucy.com and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to get 20% off on all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's Lucy.co, and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, but if you want to give up cigarettes, dip, or your vape, Lucy.co is the way to go. Be sure to use that promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with a Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Here's the final segment, me and Wes Goldberg talking about the Miami Heat.
That's why you're able to trade Duncan Robinson or Tyler Hero, right? Is because you, if you do it for the right player, you have a really good chance of getting J.J. Redick, right? That's... And let you know, Pat Riley has a pull. Like, all these guys still have a pull. And I hear what you're saying about you never really know what players think about the Heat. But I would say over the course of the last few years, for the most part, players really respect what Miami is about. And for the players that Miami is looking to acquire, those are the kind of players that they want. But to go to specifics here, I bring up Kyle Lowry. He would be number one on my free agent list. The first guy I'm calling whenever we get a chance to start calling people.
Yep.
The other guy would be his teammate right now, Kim Birch. I brought him up before. I think that those are the two big names that if you're the Heat, you need, or the two big needs that you need to fill. I think you have a real need at point guard for a guy who can run some offense for you, space the floor, and then guard at a high level so that you're not as weak when Goran Dragic or Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson are on the court, right? Because that right now is their biggest problem. Lowry fills that need, every single one. The only thing that he doesn't do is sort of drive and kick at a super high level, but he could still run, you know, some basic pick and roll stuff for you. And I think that there'd be an interesting two-man game between him and Bam, and even him and Jimmy Butler, if Jimmy Butler wanted to be a roller in those kinds of sets. But so that would be my first guy. The other need is center, right? Dwayne Dedman, as much as nice as he was, you need another guy who could play with Bam Adebayo in certain alignments and then just back up Bam Adebayo. So it's not a complete, you know, you don't fall through the floor every time in defensive efficiency, every time Bam takes a break. Right. And I think Ken Birch, with how he's evolved over the course of his career after his first stint in Miami, would be a perfect addition, right? Like just a guy who doesn't need the ball a lot, but is just really good at playing his position, good at defending the rim, tries hard, good rebounder, can do enough for you, and could probably be a long-term answer for you at backup center. Mm-hmm. And then allow Precious Achiuwa to sort of grow organically, and you don't put too much on him and or makes him a trade candidate potentially.
I don't think they're believers. Yeah. I don't think they're believers in Achiuwa anymore. No, I'm not sure neither. I don't know why they've soured on him. I don't have those exact insights there, but I get the feeling that they have. I think there's a little
not very skilled. That's the problem.
Well, I think that's part of it, but I get the vibe that it's kind of perceived internally as a little bit too much like Winslow. Like he thinks a little bit more highly of himself than the team does, and he's not willing to put in the work. Like, look, so much of Miami's approach is always, and I've made the comparison before, very militaristic and wanting to tear you down and then building you back up in their version of what player they want you to be. And I don't know that Precious is willing to make those leaps just yet. I mean, again, this might be speculation on my part, but I think that's at least part of the view. It's been a good discussion, and I really enjoy it. But I had to, unfortunately, take a turn here, and we're going to wrap up today's segment with just some NBA Mad Libs here. You know, just an opportunity to kind of fill in the blank here. Some things, again, happening around the Heat universe, and wanted to get your take on it. And we'll start off with this. The arena at 601 Biscayne has officially changed its name to FTX Arena, which means blank for Heat fans, Wes.
It means a lot of, hey, I'm going to American Airlines. Ah, crap. What's it called again? Type of conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I understand the rationale behind it, obviously. And I mean, it's just, to me, it's an end of an era, because I think so much success happened at the AAA, and it just felt like that was a big part of what defined this team for so long. It's going to be a really weird transition. And maybe people
with the Dolphins, you know, people were calling it Joe Robbie Stadium for a really long time. Exactly. People still call it that.
What's it called now? I don't even know.
It's a Hard Rock. It's Hard Rock. It went through, it was Joe Robbie, it was Pro Player, remember, which was like a
Landshark Stadium.
And then it was Landshark, and then it was Dolphin Stadium for a long time, because the Dolphins were garbage and they couldn't even get anybody to put a name on the thing. and then eventually became Hard Rock. And Hard Rock seems to have done a good job with it, and they built a brand around it, and then the big guitar thing at the other side of the street and all that stuff. But it's going to be weird. It's going to be like that, where I think you still have Heat fans calling it AAA for years and years and years. And you're going to tell them, hey, it's FTX Arena or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be one of these people that say, no, it's the AAA.
Not big into cryptocurrency.
Yeah. What?
Not a big cryptocurrency guy.
Is that what it is?
FTX? Yes.
All right. Great.
Yeah.
That's got the mayor's hands all over it, because he loves cryptocurrency. Oh, yeah. He's inviting crypto into Miami and all this stuff, and which is great, but
I talked to the owner.
Am I gonna be able to buy a Bacardi and soda with normal money when I go to Heat games, or am I gonna have to like open up a Dogecoin account?
Well, I think the option is now both. I really do think that's a big part of it, is that they're seriously making that transition there. And I talked to the owner for a piece on Forbes that I never wound up writing, because honestly, so many other people had written about it. It wasn't really all that interesting to me. And I mean, he's a cryptocurrency billionaire. I don't know what that means. It's kind of like the Top Shot thing. It feels like you're holding a lot of hot, empty air, but that's probably a better discussion for another time. Anyway, moving on, Tyler Hero is apparently taking up golf, and the coaching staff should be blank about it.
Excited. Look, I think they should. Look, I'm looking at David Epstein's novel, Range. His book, Range, talks about how it's good to have those other skill sets and things like that. And Tyler Hero is in the beginning stages of his career, and he wants to take a leap. And I think taking up a game like golf is really good. Look, not just because of the physical part of it. And, you know, Steph Curry, he's had a pretty successful career. He talks a lot about how that golf mindset has helped him on the basketball court, right? not only because you need to focus on your form as a shooter, just like you have to do with your swing as a golfer, but just the mental strain and challenge of it. It's an individual sport, unlike basketball. Everything is on you for every single moment when you're playing golf. And if Tyler Herro is taking it competitively and very seriously, then this is a guy who he can grow from it, right? Like, this could be very helpful from the mental aspect and from just like the dexterity and the physical memory and all that kind of stuff. It's all good. I think golf is a really good sport for basketball players to take up.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that the coaching staff feels that strongly about it, considering their concerns about other off the court issues with him. But it's a good perspective. I'm glad that you brought up Curry, and it's I'm not sure where he's going to become the best shooter of all time, but it's good for Tyler to kind of get away from the game every once in a while still improving in a physical aspect. After watching Pat Riley's end of season presser, we can all take blank away from it.
Nothing.
I'm setting you up for that one. I knew where you were going with that. I would have said the exact same thing there.
You love Pat Riley's press conferences. He just does. He says a whole lot of words that don't mean anything at all. And basically, at the end of the day, you know exactly what he's going to do. There's guys on the roster that he likes, and there's guys on the roster that he doesn't like so much. And he's going to make the moves. And if a superstar is available, he's going to make a trade, and that's it. So he could talk up as many people as he wants on that roster, but we all know what this team needs. And, you know, he's good. He's been pretty good at this team building thing over the years. So I'm sure he knows what this team needs too.
Yeah. Tyler Herro, a core piece of the team. I would not buy that. I would not buy a lot of cryptocurrency stock in that. That's for sure. I'm not sure how that works, but I wouldn't take a lot of seriously.
Pat Riley's end of season press conferences are like somebody trying to teach me how to make money using crypto. Like, I'm just like, it's in one ear and out the other. I'm like, whatever. I don't get it.
This podcast is fine, but also needs a lot of improvement, and it's great at the same time. That's kind of like a summary, right? Like, how do you interpret anything what he says? It's like, is it a dig? Is it like praise? I don't know, you know, somewhere in between with him. It just does.
David Ramil works hard, but you know, guys can always work harder, and that's what we do here in Miami. We get guys to work hard. You gotta want it, and we're not disappointed. We're excited about the future, but you know, and David's gonna be a big part of that probably.
That probably at the end really sold it there. I think it's like kind of sort of maybe I could see it, and it's all up to him too, right? It's all right. That, kind of deflecting all responsibility. It's like, if he wants to do the work, he can be good, but does he want to do the work? It's like, I don't know. I mean, you have to give me the chance. But anyway, thanks so much for taking the time to come on the show, Wes. Just a reminder to all of you, you can always reach me via email at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. Special thanks to all of our sponsors for supporting today's show. And thanks to all of you. I'm David Ramil, signing off for now.